الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله قد أعطى كل ذي حق حقه فلا وصية لوارثه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تأكل مال اليتيم ظلما صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, as Jabir radiallahu anhu mentions, there was one occasion we were walking with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we came to a place called Aswaf. One Ansari lady, accompanied by her two daughters, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, O Prophet of Allah, these are the daughters of Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu, who had participated in the Battle of Uhud and had become martyred. These are his two daughters. The uncle of these daughters, that means the brother of Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu, had come and taken away all the wealth, all the inheritance he had taken away, and he had left nothing for these daughters. What do you say, O Prophet of Allah, regarding this matter? And thereafter she takes an oath and says, for Allah, these daughters will never be have any hope of getting married unless they have wealth. Otherwise, who will seek them in marriage when they have no wealth whatsoever? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that يَقْدِ اللَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some command and send a decree regarding this matter. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of يُوسِيكُمْ اللَّهُ this entire ruku, where in detail they are mentioned regarding Islamic inheritance. Rasulul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for the uncle and he told the uncle that give 2/3 of the wealth to these daughters, give 1/8 to his wife, and the balance you can have. This incident we understand that like salat is an order of Allah, zakat is an order of Allah, distributing our inheritance and the estate also an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ وَلِلْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُّهَىٰ The commands and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing from his own side, but it is revelation that comes down from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand that our wealth that we earn, that we spend, and when we leave this dunya, the wealth that we leave, we cannot use our own discretion and distribute it the way we want to, but this is already worked out by Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the details in this ruku that was revealed. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this person and rectified this wrong that had taken place and told him how to distribute this inheritance. Normally, we have this misconception, this wealth is mine. I have earned the wealth, I have worked for the wealth, I have earned it. That is why we will see every ni'mat actually is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا لِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever it is, whether it is our health, whether it is all the other faculties that we have, whether it is the safety and security we have, whether it is the good name we have, the respect that we have, all from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here we find when it comes to wealth, because this false notion goes with it because of our efforts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in most of the ayats where spending is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ Spend from that wealth that we have given you. You have made effort, but the actual giver of the wealth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us that this wealth is not ours. This wealth is an amanat in our hands. This wealth is a ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands the wealth to whomever he wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constrains it from whomever he wants. That is why we find there's no criteria. Person cannot even sign his name, the multimillionaire. Person who's an engineer and a doctor walking on the streets, he has nothing to eat and nothing to go by. Why? It is not your profession. It is not your know-how. It is not your expertise. It is a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that decides how much rosy you will get. Yes, we have to make an effort. But it's not the fruit of our efforts. We have to make an effort, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He decrees, He gives to us. So this false notion that wealth is mine makes a person feel that I can decree and I can give whomsoever what I want in my estate, and there's nobody to tell me or ask me. That is why we find there are many people, You'll find them, alhamdulillah, when it comes to the other orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is salat, whether it is zakat, whether it is hajj, whether it is umrah, whether it is assisting the masajid, the madrasas, etc., you'll find them in the forefront. But when it comes to Islamic inheritance, and you look into the family and background, you'll find that this person has defaulted. This person has deprived some of his inheritance. This person has caused harm to some people of his family by not giving them the Islamic share that were fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that are mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should understand at the outset that this wealth is an amanat. And we should understand fully that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us as well so that we can utilize it throughout our life. But before we leave this world, so to say, we have to give this wealth back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are leaving the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us who we should give it to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired and wished, He could have told us to give it to all to the poor, give it to all to certain other avenue. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed and wished, He could have instructed us. It is only His mercy and compassion that He has told us that your wife gets so much, your father gets so much, your son gets so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a mercy and grace upon us, has told us that I will take this wealth and I will distribute it amongst your family. Amongst your close family members, I will distribute it, and this is how you should give it to them. So this is an amanat given to us in our hands. If somebody gives me and you an amanat and tells us, take this amanat and go to the masjid outside, there are three people sitting there, and give each one 1/3. And we go there, we give the first person half of it, the second person we give the other half, or we give a quarter, and the third person we give a quarter. And what is this? This is breach of amanat. It's given us, we have made khiyanat here. And we have made khiyanat in that amanat that was given to us. We are just supposed to take it and give it to according to how this person who has given us the amanat has instructed us. We do not have the power to change those shares or to deprive one and to give to the other. No. We must give according to how Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has fixed this. And Islamic inheritance is so important and making an Islamic wasiyat is so important. One hadith we understand, the Sahabi Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said words to this effect, does not behove a mu'min to pass even who has some wealth to bequeath, to pass even 2 nights without his will being written and being ready. He says, when I heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did not even allow 1 night to go past. And I had made out my will, ready there, kept there, ready in the event of me passing away. The same Sahabi who says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that you must live in the dunya like a musafir or like a person that's passing, he says that when you go into the morning, don't wait till the evening. And when the evening comes, don't wait in the morning, because we may go away. And we see this in everyday life. Person is well, walking, talking, and suddenly that person is gone. Just in a flash of a second, that person is gone. Everyday experiences we see today in our lives. So the Sahabi says that I made sure that I made out a wasiyat, even I didn't let 1 night pass, and I had an Islamic will, it was ready there. One hadith is mentioned, the virtues of the will. The person that passes away upon a will, then is mentioned, ma ta'ala sabirin. He has passed away on the clear path. He has passed away on the path which is completely clear. Why? He has left instructions at what to do to his wealth. Ma ta'ala sunnatin. And he has passed away upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And further the hadith go to say, ma ta'ala tuqa. He has passed away upon taqwa and piety. Person that passed away, left the will, proper Islamic will, he has passed away upon piety. Wa ala shahadatin. He has passed away upon the shahadat. And وَمَاتَ مَغْفُورًا لَهُ, he has passed away in a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. Great virtues just for living in Islamic will. Obviously, for some people it is farz to leave a will, for some people it is sunnat, some people is otherwise depending on their circumstances. But here, when you look at these virtues, and every person should make out a will, Islamic will, and leave it there, and get these great virtues from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is forgiven. And he's on the clear path, he passed away upon the sunnah, he passed away upon piety, he passed away upon shahadat, he passed away in a state where all his sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the contrary, when a person does not make a will, and he passes away, he mentioned one riwayat, tarkul wasiyate arun fit dunya. There's a great fault and shortcoming. Leaving out the wasiyat is a shortcoming and fault in the person in the dunya. Why? Because he hasn't given specific instructions as to how the will must be. How the will must be distributed and how his assets must be distributed, he hasn't given instructions. وَنَارٌ وَشَنَارٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And for him in the Akhirat is the fire of Jahannam and disgrace. Why he has not left a proper will? تَرْكُ الْوَسِيَّةِ, he has left out in wasiyah. So from this we understand the importance of making an Islamic will. very, very important to make an Islamic will. Besides the virtues here, it makes it easy for the people that remain behind to distribute the wealth, and we will not find that amount of animosity, that hatred, and that fighting and going to the courts, etc. Why? Because we'll have an Islamic will. And why is it so important and so significant? Sometimes a person thinks, Alhamdulillah, I'm reading my salat, I'm giving my zakat, I go out in the path of Allah, I am bait to certain sheikh, I make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is part and parcel, and very important part and parcel of our deen. But our deen is very practical, and our deen is a complete code of life. It's not restricted. We cannot be selective that I will only carry out the ibadat in the muamalat. I won't follow the laws of Allah and His Rasul. I will only, for example, carry out the ibadat in muamalat. In the muashara and social life, I will be completely free. Or when it comes to my akhlaq, then nobody must tell me what to do. No. Islam, you have to look at it holistically. Complete way of life. From the, normally we say, from birth to death. But I was pondering, not even before birth till after death. Because before birth, when a woman conceives, what must she do? Guidelines in the Sharia. After death, when you pass away, what must you do? What must be done with that person, with that mayat? Not from death to from birth to death, but before death, and before birth, and until after death, we find Islam is replete with guidance and tawfiq and guidance, and from the side of Rasul, instructions from the side of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as how we should conduct ourselves. So this is one aspect. A person is carrying out his ibadat, his namaz, etc. Alhamdulillah. Very important aspect. But that does not mean it gives him a license to make do whatever he feels like when it comes to inheritance. We'll judge in the light of this hadith that Rasulullah s.a.w. mentions. He mentions that the person, he makes amal, or a woman, and bi ta'ati Allah or bi ta'ati Allah 60 sana. 60 years they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're in the obedience of Allah. Not only worshipping Allah, reading salat and zakat, bi ta'ati Allah. They are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma yahduruhum al-maut. And then death comes. Death comes to them, to this man and this woman, who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are obedient to Allah for 60 years. فَيَحْضُرُهُمَ الْمَوْتِ فَيُضَارَّانِ فِي الْوَسِيَّةِ. And they cause harm in the wasiyat. They default in the wasiyat. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? فَتَجِبُ لَهُمَ النَّارِ. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the fire of Jahannam becomes obligatory on these people. Mandatory and wajib upon these people, who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are obedient to Allah for 60 years, but because they are defaulted when it came to inheritance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says they will be in the fire of Jahannam. Why? It is such a serious sin, because it's sent them out to khiyanat, like I mentioned. We were given this wealth and we were told, give it to so and so. It's sent them out to khiyanat if we don't give them the respective shares. Secondly, it is stealing the wealth of our own relatives. If a person gives his wife more and his son less, he has stole from the share of his son and given it to the wife. Imagine when somebody steals, we say this person is a thief. And when he steals from somebody outside, now he's stealing from his son, from his wife, from his children, from his mother and from his father, from his own family he is stealing. And what happens further? That wealth that has been given is completely haram. Even if it was earned in a halal manner, if it is given wrongly, if my wife was deserving 1/8 and I gave her half, and the balance over the 1/8 is haram. And when haram wealth is given to them, then we can expect that haram begets haram. What happens? Haram shows its color throughout our life. There's no chain, there's no sukoon. The wealth is there, the amount is big, but because it's given in a wrong manner, then there's no chain and there's no sukoon. Further with that, we find families are broken down. There's so many everyday experiences we know of families that are so closely knit to each other, so close to each other, etc. And what happened? The wasiyat was not given in the proper manner. We find there's animosity, there's hatred, there's jealousy, there's infighting, there's swearing, there's abuse, people that are talking to each other. For generations this is carrying on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, especially in our society, we find very, very common. This is very, very common among many people who are pious, who know the deen of Allah, who follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other aspects of deen. But when it comes to inheritance, we find there's a failure. And if a person begins to examine this, we find the more you look into this, you will find there are hundreds of families that were closely knit. And when it came to inheritance, the inheritance was not divided according to Islamic law, and we find those families are broken, fragmentated. They want to speak to each other, they want to know each other, and they remember the bitterness. In fact, one place when we were speaking, the person after I met him, he told me, Mona, when you were speaking, I had tears in my eyes. Because my grandfather, he must be about 50 years old, my grandfather, we had about 300 properties, but nothing was distributed up to this day. He was about 50 years old. His father must have been 70 years old. His grandfather must have been 90 years old. And you can imagine when his grandfather passed away, for so many long years, he says, none of those properties were distributed in accordance to Islamic law, and we got nothing. We got nothing from the properties of my father. So this year is very, very serious, and we should look at it in that light. Firstly, we should realize that this wealth that I am earning is given to me by the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an amanat. And if I don't distribute this, then, like Al Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says here, I may be in the obedience of Allah, but as far as this aspect is concerned, I am failing. And it's very, very simple. We employ people every day in our shops, in our homes, etc. And when it comes to the job description, we give them four things to do, or five things to do. We have to open the shop, clean the shop, and serve the customers, etc., or do the books, or whatever. Now he does three things perfectly well, and the fourth thing he doesn't do. We are not happy and not satisfied with him. Why? Because we employed you for this. And that's just one of our employee. In fact, we just employ one of our workers. We are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have to follow. Whether it is two rakat, the fil namaz that we have to read, whether it's going out in the path of Allah, whether it is giving our zakat and charity, or whether it's distributing inheritance that we have. Every single order is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should follow all the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ruku that had come down, if you examine the ruku, you will understand how serious this matter is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this ruku, يُوسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلْزَكَرِ مِسْلُ حَجِّ الْأُنْسَيِّينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs you, فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ, that in your children, لِلْزَكَرِ مِسْلُ حَجِّ الْأُنْسَيِّينَ. A person, a male will get that share which is equal to double the share of the woman. Male will get that portion and that share that is double the portion of the woman. In your children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that your son will get double the share of what this daughter will get. The opening verses of this. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions details that فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكْ. If you only leave daughters, there are two or more. Two or more mentioned here, but even if there are two in the hadith is mentioned, even if there are two daughters, فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكْ. They will get two-thirds of your estate. A person has only daughters, two daughters or more, then two-thirds of the estate will go to the daughters. To show to us here that the children, the male also get, and the female also get. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on with the shares of the parents. That if there are parents, you have no children, you only have parents, then each parent, if there are children, together with the children, you have parents, the mother and father, they will get 1/6 each. In the case where there are no children, you only have parents, then the mother will get 1/3 and the balance will go to the father. In the case where you don't have children and the parents are inheriting and you have sisters, brothers and sisters, then the mother will get 1/6 and the balance will go to the father. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the different conditions of the parents inheriting. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا. You have your children and you have your parents. You do not know who is more beneficial to you. You do not know. So you are not in a position to make the distribution. You do not know who is more beneficial to you. فَرِيدَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This something that is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the wisdom of giving the father so much, of giving the mother so much, of giving the daughter so much and giving the son so much. You do not know. And it is not something that we have a choice. It is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَرِيدَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the shares of the wives and the husbands and the wives. If the husband, the wife passes away and she has no children, then you will get half. As a husband, you will get half of the estate. And if there are children, then you'll get a quarter of the estate. But if the husband passes away and there are no children, then the wife, she will not get half like the man had got, the husband had got, she will get a quarter. And if there are children and the husband passes away, then the wife will get 1/8 of the estate. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those people who do not have children and do not have ascendants or descendants. If they have brothers, if they have one brother or one sister, then they will get 1/6. And if there are more, then they will share from 1/3, from 2/3. ثُلُثَانِ مِمَّا تَرَكْ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us again, وَسِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This is an instruction from the side of Allah, a directive from the side of Allah. Allah ta'ala already told us, فَرِيدَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. It is fixed by Allah. وَسِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most tolerant. In other words, you can do what you want to. You have a choice here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows fully well what you are going to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most tolerant. Person does things that are against the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not end of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tilka hududullah. These are the boundaries and limitations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned. Now if you look at this ruku, it's filled up reminding us, fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not go beyond these limits. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions as an incentive and motivation for us that whoever is obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever, tilka hududullah wa man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu, whoever is obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into paradise, to gardens under which rivers will flow. And he will dwell therein forever and forever. And this is the great triumph and the great success. And وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Those people that are disobedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they cross the limits. They transgress the limits. How? They interfere with the shares. Or they deprive those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed in the Quran, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, they deprive those people. And they do not follow the law of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then you will enter them into the fire of Jahannam. They will dwell therein there forever and forever. Commentators mention here those people that contest, that challenge this law of Allah, reject the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become kafir, and they will enter into Jahannam forever and forever. And for those people who accept the law, but because of their weakness is not carried out, they will dwell into Jahannam for a very long time, and they will have in punishment, a most disgraceful punishment in the akhirat. So here we find a warning is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after these verses are revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding inheritance. And in between also Allah ta'ala tells us, غَيْرَ مُضَارٍ. We should not cause benefit and harm to people, the other inheritors, when they are distributing this. We should not cause harm by depriving some or changing the sales of some and giving other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in His wisdom who will get what amount of share and what must be given to which person. We cannot exercise our discretion and our understanding. Similarly, it is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, نَتِمْ كَرْزُنْ حَجَّةُ الْوِدَىٰ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَرْ أَعْتَى كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ فَلَا وَسِيَّةَ لِوَارِسٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has definitely given every rightful person his share. Whoever was deserving of what portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that share and fixed it in the Holy Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained us who must get what amount of share. فَلَا وَسِيَّةَ لِوَارِسٍ. You cannot make any bequests for those people that are inheriting from you. My wife is inheriting from me. I cannot make a bequest that she must be given so much over and above what she's supposed to inherit. My son is inheriting. My children are inheriting. My daughter is inheriting. I cannot give them more. I cannot make a wasiyat and bequest that they must get more than what they're supposed to get. No. That is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as wasiyat is concerned, making a bequest is concerned, I have a choice in one third of my wealth. But with this provision, it must not be for anyone that's inheriting from me. Otherwise, the will of a Muslim is already fixed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will get what portion. In one term, we have a choice that we can exercise our discretion and understanding, but on this condition, that it must be restricted to one third, it must not be given to any inheritor, not to be given to the wife, not to be given to the husband, not given to the children, not to be given to the father and mother, etc., because they are already inheriting. I can give to anyone over and above that, or anyone besides them, I can say in one third of my wealth, to up to one third of my wealth, can be given to so and so, who is not an inheritor, as far as I am concerned. And as far as the Shariat is concerned, he is not an inheritor. So, as far as I am concerned, I have the discretion, I have the right, to fix a certain amount for that person, on condition that does not go beyond one third. Now what we need to understand is this, that this is inheritance and wirasat. And wirasat, the laws of wirasat are enacted, and they come into play, after a person passes away. While a person is living, then obviously there are some principles that a person should follow as far as his wealth is concerned. If he wants to give his relatives, especially his sons and daughters, etc., the principle of justice should apply. He should not be unjust towards one, cause justice, show injustice towards one, and show undue favor to another one, won't be proper. Why? The sentiments and emotions and feelings of the children will be affected. We have three children, you give one, without any reason, you give one more than the other as a gift. Obviously the other two will feel offended, my father is showing undue favor to this person. But yes, if there's some valid reason, you have one son, for example, that's sickly, one son that's completely poor, one son that's very needy, and you gave him more than you didn't give the other children, obviously there was a genuine need as far as that is concerned. But when it comes to inheritance, when it comes to wirasat, this is after a person passes away, then the law of Allah and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam apply. We cannot make laws while we are living. I cannot make a law while I am living. That after I pass away, what must happen? This is how my wealth must be distributed. This must be done. All the wealth must go to my wife. All the wealth must go to my big son, etc. This is not proper. If I wish to give the wealth to my wife while I am living, there is a genuine cause and reason to do so. I've got the discretion to do so, and I can do so. I've got the will to do so. There are very many common areas where we find people, there are a lot of discrepancies when it comes to estates. Firstly, we must understand that every single thing becomes part and parcel of the estate. When a person passes away, I pass away at this point in time, the pen also is part of the estate. Pen also is part of the estate. The keys in my pocket also is part of the estate. If I have a few coins in my pocket, that's also part of the estate. Every single thing is part of the estate. Not that the bank balance is part of the estate, but my clothing will give it away as charity. This will do, this will do. No. There's one person sitting at the bedside of a sick person, that person passed away. Immediately he blew off that lamp. Immediately he blew off the lamp. Somebody asked him, why did you do this? He said, this oil that is burning on the lamp, that belongs to this person. Now his eyes have closed. That oil now belongs to the inheritors. And there are even young children, inheritors, young baligh children, children that have not reached bulugh, they are also part of the inheritors. It's not permissible for me to derive any benefit from that oil there, because it does not belong to him any longer. It belongs to people that are around him, and belongs to the people of the estate. Here we find, unfortunately, in our circumstances, in many places, when a person passes away, then what happens? We find large amounts of money are there to feed the people, etc. Expenditure is coming out from that person's assets. People think nothing about it. They feel, mashallah, we are serving the guests that are coming here, feeding them and looking after their needs, etc. All that wealth does not belong to the deceased. It belongs to the people that are the offspring of the deceased, the family of the deceased. Sometimes there's little children there. And little children, even if they expressly give permission and say, take this, it's no problem, you can use it, we are not prepared, it's not proper for us to use that amount of wealth. So what is the first thing to do? Is when a person passes away, ascertain. Some people have even written to this extent, before he is even buried, to sit down and determine what is the wealth that he has. And he stop there and say, this is his wealth, and we make an estimation of his wealth, even before he's buried. Some people say, why? Because there should not be any delay, should not neglect as far as his assets are concerned. So firstly, everything forms part of the estate. If a person wishes to give something to the poor, etc., as long as all the inheritors consent to that, it's permissible. Otherwise, a person uses his own discretion and gets rid of some things of the person that passed away, this is not proper. Secondly, we should try and discharge the duty as expeditiously as possible. Should not be this, that months have gone by, years have gone by, people who are inheriting have gone to the graves, but the estate is not wound up. Yes, we have the legal side of it, where we have to send the details to the master, etc. But apart from that, there should be no undue delay. And this is very, very common. You will find families, they will say, my grandfather's estate is still not wound up today. 20 years have gone by, 40 years have gone by, that estate is not wound up today because of some hitches. One person, one estate, one person had come to us and told us that Moana, my father had passed away, he's 8 years now. And Moana, certain Moana is the executor of the estate. We went after the Moana Saab. Moana Saab said, yes, I am the executor, but somebody else is handling it. 8 years have gone by. The Moana cannot show this person what are the shares, what your father has left for you, and what you are entitled to. 8 years have gone by. It's not with due respect to all the ulama kiram. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We are so lax when it comes to inheritance. So lax when it comes to inheritance here. Imagine of an incident that has taken place in India. Anyway, we'll come back to that. So here, the second duty is this. Firstly, all that forms part of the estate. Secondly, expediency as possible, we should discharge that estate. Sometimes we become a hindrance. We put a clause there. I put a clause that my inheritance must not be distributed till my youngest son does not reach 21 years old. Now what happens? Everybody is waiting for that boy to reach 21 so they can get their share. My estate must not be distributed till my wife is not living. People feel now, I must secure my wife, so all my assets, we make a joint will. When I pass away, everything goes to the wife. The wife passes away, everything comes to me. And now everybody is waiting. The father has passed away. All the children are waiting now. For what? For the wife to pass away. For the mother to pass away, because they want their shares. So what do you think? Will they make a lot of dua? Allah Ta'ala give them a lot of barakat in their lives. They must live for another 40 years so we can wait. We are the people that are causing this animosity, this ill feeling, this bad feeling, this bad blood in the hearts and minds of our own children against our own wives. Why? Because we're not realizing that it is their rights that have come. And these rights don't come after we pass away. They don't come after we pass away. We should remember that. One hadith where Rasulullah s.a.w. was asked, what is the best charity? Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned the details of the hadith you must have heard before, that you must spend in a state that you are completely fit, and you have love for the wealth, and you have ummi that you must become wealthy. We are fearing faqr, taksha al-faqr, wa ta'mar al-ghina, and wala tumhil. Rasulullah s.a.w. says, do not delay till the roo reaches the throat. Then you say, li fulan in kaza, wa li fulan in kaza, so and so, so much thousand, so and so, so much thousand, وَقَدْ كَانَ لِفُلَانِ. Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us, when we are nearing death, the wealth, the rights of those people have already come onto our wealth. Now we do not have the prerogative now to make the decision that this wealth must be given to so and so and so and so, because the rights of the inheritors have already come. And one of the most strongest way of getting, the strongest way of ownership of tamliq is inheritance. Without a person's choice, without him intending or accepting, etc., the wealth becomes transferred to him. It becomes his wealth, and without him earning and accepting, etc. Person gives a gift to somebody, has to accept it. But in the inheritance of Fuqaha mentioned, it's such a strong avenue of earning wealth that before when somebody passes away, that person's ownership comes immediately on the wealth that is left behind. So we should not delay at all. We should not become a cause of delay. Sometimes there are circumstances, the master, etc., so on. But we should not become a cause of delay by putting some clauses, or for example, making such a will that people have to wait for some other inheritors to pass away before they get their share. Similarly, we find in our context, people feel, my wife is getting 1/8. My wife is getting 1/8, and common sentence, I pray, oh, they won't look after my wife. They won't look after my wife, so I'll give my wife the whole estate. That's what a person feels. He wants to secure the wife. Now, I pass away, everything goes to the wife. And this reality, as I mentioned, this is meddling in the shares of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are fixed for the wife, and keeping all those other inheritors or shareholders waiting. What a person can do is that in his lifetime he can secure his wife. As I mentioned, in life, a person wishes, if he, the children will not look after the wife, give some assets to the wife while the person is living. Give the house to the wife while you are living. But obviously we must understand the implications, that will become the property of the wife. If she passes away, that will become inheritance. It won't come back automatically to me. Similarly, a person can make her a shareholder in his assets. Give her 50% of his assets or 50% of the house, etc. This way he'll be securing her. Or for example, he can make waqf of the house. The house is make waqf on this condition that as long as I am living, I will stay here. As far as the wife is living, she'll stay here. An Islamic waqf is not like the trust we have today. It has a maturity date and stops there. No. Islamic waqf is that continues to perpetual. Perpetual continues and eventually ultimately can go away to the poor. So as long as I am living, I'll stay in this house. As long as my wife is living, she'll stay in the house. Thereafter, whoever else is living, they can stay. Or thereafter, it'll go to the avenue of charity and go away to the poor people. So there are different ways here of securing the wife's rights or securing her. And actually, in reality, the best way to secure the wife's rights is to bring our children up in an Islamic manner. Al-jannatu tahta aqdam al-ummahat, or kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the child knows that Jannat lies beneath the feet of my mother, then under all circumstances, he will look after the mother. He will not be concerned about the rents and cents. He will not be concerned about the money. And alhamdulillah, we find people of that caliber. Reminds me of a lady who had mentioned to my wife that my son is such a son that does not have any fault. A diamond can have a fault, but my son does not have a fault. And I make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala must make him the companion of Ibrahim alayhi salam in Jannah. She knows of the incident where Musa alayhi salam, the mother had made dua, Allah Ta'ala make that person the companion of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. And you heard this incident. And this year, this woman says that my son has no fault. My son has no fault. A diamond can have a fault. My son can have no fault. And I make dua, Allah Ta'ala make him the companion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So there are such people that are brought up in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the values of their mothers. They know the values of your wives. And they know how to look after them. They know how to look after them. So it is this is the actual solution, is to teach them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this obviously is an ongoing process. Have ta'aleem and have those things, have masla masail in the homes, etc. Teach them the deen of Allah. Take them to such gatherings where they know the value of the people. They don't look at you in the light of the bank balance that you have. They don't look at you in the material aspect. If you are worth so much, that's why I have to respect you. No. They look at you in the light of what Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that maqam that Allah has given us, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us as a father, or as a mother, or as a brother, etc. They look at you in that light, and they respect and honor you. However, this is one place also we find the people falter. Another place is the children. This is also very common in our society. A person has a business. Haji Saab started the business in 1940, for example, or 1950, and now he's growing old. He has three or four sons that join him in the business. One is the alim, mashallah. The other two sons are working in the shop. Now those two sons that are working in the shop, what happens? They take over. They take over the shop, so to say. They do the ordering and they do the everything regarding the shop. They've opened up so many branches, etc. They're running the shop. The father, they tell the father to take it easy. Come when you want to, go when you want to, etc. They're virtually running anything. But the entire shop belongs to the father. He at no stage has given that shop to the children. He has not even made them shareholders. They are drawing a meager salary. Obviously, like you saw common here, Shadi also from the shop, Hajj also from the shop. He went for Cape Town holiday also from the shop. He went for certain things also from the shop. His son got married also from the shop. Expenses is coming from the shop. From one pot there everything is coming. But that actually belongs to the father. Now, the day that father passes away, then this is real life experiences. I remember when I was sitting once, Jamiat offered the person a beard and kurta came and said, Mona, I am with my father. The business is in the heart of Grace Street. I'm with my father for so many years and I have so many brothers. What is our share? I told him, in Islam, you will inherit because of your relationship with the father. You served your father for 20 years. That person that's far away from your father for 20 years, you get equal shares. You get equal shares. He felt very despondent and deprived, and he felt something wrong with the Sharia, ma'azallah. Our Sharia is Yom Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. It's kamil, and Allah has made it kamil. So it is our understanding that's feeble, not the Sharia, but what was the solution? You are not getting your inheritance because you are working for your father, you are getting it because you are the son of your father. And that alim that is serving in the madrasa, and that person in the shop who's serving you for 20 years, they will get the same inheritance, because that is your son, and this is your son. What you ought to do was, when this son of yours is serving you in the shop, make him a partner in the shop. Give him 20% of the shop. 20% belongs to him. 50% belongs to him. The day you pass away, 50% of the shop is not in the estate. It belongs to so-and-so, this son, and belongs to that son, because they are working. Or give them from the profits of your business. If you don't want to give them shares, you give them a hefty part of the profits, so much 50% of the profits, or 70% of the profits, and they know they are working, and because of their work, they are getting the returns also, the father is repaying them. So, not at the expense of the uninheritance, what do? You write the shop to the son. These two children will get the shop. Now what you are doing, you are showing them additional favor, you are giving them more than what they deserve, and you are depriving others. This is not proper. This again, you are defaulting for your dar, rani fil wasiya. You are defaulting in the wasiya, you are causing harm and detriment to the uninheritors. Similarly, we find when it comes to the daughters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first ayat he mentions here, the zakari mislu hasil unsayin, showing to us, though the proportions are not same, the male gets twice the amount of the female, showing to us that the female deserves inheritance. But what happens? A debate starts and ensues. And say, Ben is married to so and so, mashallah, he is owning so many cash and carries, but she doesn't require the money. Oh yeah, this daughter of mine, she hasn't even been for Hajj, and she's not even married, she'll require the wealth, so I'll give this daughter so much, and I won't give that daughter, because she doesn't require it. Not a matter of requiring. By virtue of their relationship, all of them are same to you. You have to give this one and that one the same, whether this one is a multi-millionaire's wife, and whether that one is a pauper and has great needs. When it comes to inheritance, this has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will all get a share. So we should not deprive our daughters, we should give them their respective shares that is fixed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of the position. And what is very, very common in our society is, the family will sit down, three sisters will be there, the younger sister may be the one that's not married, got nothing, and the elder sister is the one that's more vocal and talks more talkative, sit there and the person will say, Ben, I don't think you all need it, mashallah, Allah Pak has given you all. I don't think you'll need it. What do you all say? Pixie say, yeah, mashallah, we are very well off on him. We should give it to mine, we should give it to so and so. The young girl is under duress. She can't even speak. If she says anything, they'll say, subhanallah, look at her. She's not respecting the big brother. She's not showing respect to the big brother. She has no feeling for the mother. And she's saying she wants a share. We should keep quiet. They say, big brother feels the mother must get everything. She says, the big daughter speaks, and the little daughter is sitting there. The rightful way is to work out the shares and give it to them. The big daughter is a multi-millionaire's wife. She wishes to give it to the mother, or she wishes to give it to charity, left to her. And the share of the girl that's not married should be worked out and given into her hands, that this is your share of the inheritance. Whether she uses it for a marriage, keeps it for a hajj, is left to her. Not that we create such an environment that she's, that poor girl cannot even speak, and she's overruled by the people around them, she's shy, etc. But inside she's not, she feels she's deprived of the inheritance. And we feel, mashallah, everybody is in full agreement. They all said, yeah, they don't require it. We are the people that are calling the shots, especially that person who normally is the kingpin in the business. He sits down because he knows all the assets, he knows what's happening, and he knows all the numbers, where to press and what not to press, and where the money will come out from, and he calls the shots. This is not according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find another aspect also is that a person doesn't listen to the father. And this is very, very common. Person, for example, a father may be a very pious person. He wants his son, for example, to come out in the path of Allah. He doesn't want to come. A person maybe, he may be sitting in a masjid, maybe zikr of, making the zikr of Allah. The son doesn't listen to him. He doesn't read his namaz. So what he says, I'll take you out of my will. I will take you out of my will. Very, very dangerous situation. من قطع ميراث وارثه قطع الله ميراثه من الجنة يوم القيامة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The person that cuts off the inheritance of his inheritor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut off his inheritance on the day of judgment. Inheritance of what? Inheritance of paradise. So we should remember, irrespective of what the child is, we cannot take him out of our estate because we are not giving him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed his share, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, is giving that person his share. Similarly, we find when it comes to particular items, then a person says that my house goes to my big son. This car of mine will go to my young son. That property there that I got across in front of the sea, that will go to so and so. That money that I got overseas, that will go to so and so. It is not permissible to fix those amounts and give it to them. Why? Because the proportions may differ. The shop may be the milking cow, and you may be getting millions of rand from the shop. You gave it to your bigger son. And the bigger son was only... But his share, for example, was only 500,000. And your shop is worth 3,000,000, and you give it to your son. Similarly, the car is worth 50,000 or 100,000, and you give it to your young son, and his share was maybe 200,000. So to fix those proportions, it's not proper. To fix the items and say, to give this to a certain person and this to a certain person, is not proper. Yes, you can express your views and say that of all of you get together and keep this shop going, this will better for you in the long run, the business will be there, you will get income from this, etc. You can express the sentiment, but you can't fix it in your will and say, this will go to this person and this will go to that person. This is not proper. So these are some areas we find that people falter. Then again we find there are other areas where people are got other type of contacts, and what happened? That interferes with the inheritance. For example, marriage. People are married in community of property. And that by virtue of that marriage, the law says, half is whatever is yours, half belongs to you and half belongs to your wife. And Islam does not work by marriage, it belongs by you personally giving that wealth to your wife. So by virtue of that marriage, according to the laws of the land, your estate, Islamic estate, cannot be distributed in accordance with the Sharia. Why? Half of it will go away to the wife the day your eyes close, which is not proper. So if you are married in community of property, you should undo that marriage. Go to the lawyers and ask them, they tell you how to do it, and you should marry in the empty natural contract without the accrual system. There's another system there, which is known as the accrual system, where a certain portion, the proportion, is given to the wife, even if it's an ANC, anti-natural contract. That also should be rectified. Then we find many people in our country have insurance. They have life insurance, etc. And we find all sorts of advices given for tax evasion, etc. And when that figures come, when a person passes away, he had paid towards the insurance maybe 500,000, and then comes to 5-6 million, then you need a heart full of strong iman for the person to take that 2.5 million and give it away without a niyat of sawab and not to inherit from there. So a person should see whether he's got that iman is strength, first of all. And why put himself in that predicament where now it becomes hard for him and his inheritors to take that 2.5 million and give it quietly to somebody without a niyat of sawab. So a person will only be entitled to those premiums, those items, those amount of wealth that he has paid, not to the excess that will come in if he has insurance. Similarly, we find adoption is common. Some places, people don't get children and they adopt children. And the law of the land says when you adopt a child, then he will take your surname. He will become like your real son, like your biological father. And Islam is not proper. Ud'uhum li'abahim wa aktabu inda Allah. We know that ayat that were revealed when Zayd radiallahu anhu was attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to call them by the name of the adopted father also is not permissible. So here, the person feels, this is my son, this is my adopted son, and he bears my name, so when I will pass away, he will also inherit. He will not inherit from your estate, as far as Islamic law is concerned. Yes, from that one third maybe you can give him, because he is not your own son, and you can give him, he's like a stranger, but he will not inherit from your Islamic estate. Similarly, we find very, very common, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, is the verbal wasiyah that is made. Man passes away, or the woman passes away, the daughters come. The janaha, you know, my mother said, until 5 years ago, she said, this must be given to Khadija, the biggest daughter, must be given to her. So, now all the jewelry is taken out. The son comes, he says, no, my father said, certain car and certain things, certain property must be given to me. And I can bring witnesses there, must be given to me. People come, they said, yeah, I was there when Haji Sahib mentioned this, or when Ma mentioned that I was there, present, very, very common. Take the last place that I spoke, that person came out and said, Mona, we got the same problem. My nanny stuff, you know, my nanny stuff, they say, some say she made a verbal wasiyah. Let me ask you one question, that if that girl, Khadija, came in while the nanny was living, or while the Ma was living, and she tapped the door one day and said, Ma, give me all the jewelry, what will the Ma say? She take it out and give it to her. She won't give it to her. So she's got the wish that after I pass away, this must be given to Khadija. So this is contravening la wasiyat al warisin. She's Khadija is a waris. You can't make wasiyat for her. If you wanted to give it to her, you give it to her in your lifetime, and it's over. But if the Khadija comes and demand, then she, what she'll say? Magaj Parigar will say, you're coming now to ask for the jewelry. What do you ask for the jewelry? After I go, I'll give you the jewelry. Or the father comes, for example, the son comes and tell the father, Papa, we'll have to move it up from the shop now, because you say the shop is mine. What will the father do? Father will say, go away. Go jump into the lake, so to say. Otherwise, this belongs to me. After I pass away, then you can take over, you can handle it. So he will expressly tell you that it's not his. What he means here by this verbal wasiyah is, after he passes away, he will give it to you. So this is not proper. Verbal wasiyah is not proper because it's not transferred. The wealth is not transferred. It reminds me of a very strange incident, very strange case that has taken place, very, very uncommon. Sometimes ask my students, one person, just to put you in a picture, one person, he gave, for example, say he gave Kari Sahab something. He said, Kari Sahab, take this watch, for example, or take this $100 or $500 and give it to the other Imam Sahab. Kari Sahab took it, and for some reason he didn't give him. He met Kari Sahab after a few days and told him, Kari Sahab, where's that money? He said, no, I didn't give it to the other Imam Sahab. He said, yeah, nice, don't give it to him. Imam Sahab, maybe something went wrong, don't give it to him. After 2 weeks, they met him again. He said, Kari Sahab, pair did you give him the money? They carried on this way, give him, don't give him, and this giver who gave the money passed away. Now, Kari Sahab wants to know the masla, what must I do? Who does this money belong to? Because he told me, I don't remember what he told me last, give it to him or don't give it to him. Understand the masla? Now look at the masla. The masla is this, that wealth belongs to the person that gave it to him. If I give it to him, it belongs to me. Even if I told him, give it to him, he did not give it to him. It is an amanat in his hands, and it belongs to me. Even if I told him, the last thing I told him, give it to him, and he didn't give it to him, that wealth belongs to me. Why? Because I'm the owner of the wealth. It has not come out from my milkiyat, from my ownership. It's not transferred to that other Imam Sahib's ownership. So this is my wealth. So a person can say 100 times that, Beta, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. Till they do not give it to you physically, it doesn't belong to that person. If they give it to you physically, it belongs to that person. Similarly, we find that a person sometimes feels that, you know what, from my 5 sons, this one son of mine is like, you know, khatarnak che. What I'll do, he calls him, says, bye, two, I'll give you in my lifetime, you know. Now, after I pass away, then I don't want you to claim. You say, yeah, Papa, very good. I'll sign a document also, that after you pass away, I got no rights. He gives him a property, etc. He feels relieved now. He says, the person that was a bit troublesome, but rowdy he was, I took him out. But that person, a lot of ulama kiram around, he goes to the ulama and asks him, you see. Ulama tell him, la iskata ba'd al-wuku. You cannot, illa ba'd al-wuku. You cannot ward off that right till it doesn't come to you. Inheritance only comes after your father passes away. That man is standing in the first person, the saf is there. He says, I want my share. Because Maulana told me that what I signed there is not valid. Because that was for inheritance. And inheritance will only come when my father's eyes closed, then my share had come. What I told my father was before that. So I stand to inherit. So here again we fool ourselves, we feel we have given the person our lifetime, he's out of the estate. You cannot take the person out of the estate. Estate is when a person passes away, the wealth that remains, how will it be distributed? So if you gave him here, that may be a bonus. So that person will be there first to accept that wealth after a person has passed away. Similarly, we find there are a lot of sentiments come in when the estates are being distributed. People say, you know what, this property, mashallah, has belonged to a certain family, you know, in Stanger. For 100 years, these people are owning this property. Now you're going to sell the property. How are you going to sell the property? 150 years, my dada and dada also had this property. The first when they came to Stanger had this property. That sentimental things are in its place. When it comes to Islamic estate, you have to wind up the estate and pay the people their shares. And if it means selling the property, you sell that property and give everybody a share. That is better than leaving it there as a monument and mashallah, everybody is saying this property got saved. No. You save the property, but you'll be breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you don't pay this inheritance. If it comes, mutually they agree and they accept and they stay, fine. But if they don't agree and each one wants his share, then you're obliged under the circumstances to sell the property and give them their share. Then you find another scenario that is not very common in our country, but it happens, nice to know about it, is predeceasing. Person had 3 sons, for example, 1 son passed away in his lifetime. Now this in Pakistan has become a masala, poteki virasat. The 2 children get, now does the grandson get or doesn't get? Islamically, the grandson, when they are sons, that grandson is not entitled to get virasat. But people said, no, they use their brain, this is understanding. Who will support that person? All their life, nobody helped him, was a yatim, etc. Nobody helped him. All that wealth that we have, nobody prepared to help him. Suddenly now they say, no, from the estate, we should give him from the estate, because if his father was living, he should give his father. See, all the mental, this thing, I understand. Baap agar hote, you have to give the father. So, father passed away, now you have to give the son. You have to give that yatim. This is also not proper. That yatim is a yatim, and the virtues of the yatim are in their place. But from the estate, Islamic estate, that person, the grandson, pota, he's not entitled to any, is not entitled to a share from the Islamic estate. So these are methods where people falter. Another area is we find when people get a little bit of education and when they begin to apply their minds when it comes to the Islamic inheritance. And especially now, if we find from the West, the gender equality winds are blowing. And the gender equality winds are so dangerous that it is outright kufr. Some places it is complete. Person becomes a complete kafir, ma'azallah, Allah Pak save us, who believes in the gender equality, that both these males and females are equal. And one place that they are meddling with it is in inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that your son will get 2 portions of what the woman will get. In other words, that your daughter will get half of what the son gets. Your son will get double of what the daughter will get. So ma'azallah, the gender equality commission comes about and says, ma'azallah, this is unfair. How can the daughter get half and the son get double? This is the command of not me and you, the command, the express command, an honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who disbelieves in this becomes a kafir. Why? Because there's no way a person can meddle with this and make some ta'weel and find some loophole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusikum Allah, Allah ta'ala commands you, directs you and instructs you in your awlad that you give your sons 2 shares and your daughters 1 share. So here to go with the gender equality is kufr. And we find that these winds are blowing very, very strongly. We are lucky, alhamdulillah, in our society. In fact, one place where I mentioned this, one person came up and said, Mawlana, 10 ulama were made shaheed and assassinated in Somalia because of this law. Because the government said, no, it will be equal. And they said, no, we will stand by the Quranic law. And they were made shaheed. In Bangladesh, I had friends who had to leave the country because they stood up against this law. And the government tried to say, no, inheritance must be equal. I think they passed a judgment in the courts. Inheritance will be equal for male and female. They had to leave the country because people wanted to arrest them. So here, this is how far they are meddling with the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it comes to the gender equality, there are great wisdoms. There's no time. Just give you one wisdom is this, that somebody came to Imam Hanifa after I told him, I believe that you are also following qiyas. Against the nasr of Allah, you are following qiyas. Imam Hanifa told him, if that was the case, then I should have made the shares equal for the male and female. But I don't say they are equal. Why? Because qiyas, and your logical understanding seems that you must give them also and give them also. So, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is she gets half and the boys get double. And the reason for that, ulama mentioned, is that a woman in the Islamic society, at no stage of her life are the expenses her burden. The expenditure of a woman at no stage of her life, from the day she is born till the day she passes away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sufficient arrangements for her expenditures and for her kharcha. When she is a little child, the father has to look after her. The virtues of that, you must ask the ulama, how much more virtues is for you to look after your daughter than your son? How much virtues have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wal baqiyatu salihat, some say, is pious daughters who will stand on the day of judgment and intercede for you and save you from the fire of Jahannam. When they grow up and they become married, non-nafqa shohar has to give. They have to give, the husband has to provide for them. When they become mothers, etc., the children have to provide from them. When they get divorced and come back to their fathers, it mentioned one riwayat, the best sadaqah, your best charity is your daughter that has been returned to you. The father is obligated. And if there's nobody there in the Islamic society, has to look after that. This is a Western concept, ma'azallah, that they've taken the women out of their homes and also make them rub shoulders with the men and go and earn their living, etc. They kharcha, in fact, is the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's a share for them. If you look into their, societies, the Western societies, they had deprived the woman from those days. If you go to see, they had no right of inheritance. But Islam had come. The first sentence is mentioned here, that your sons will get and your daughters will also get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a share. So mending with this is not proper. Another very common thing in our society, very maybe not too common, but common is, man has two wives. Man has two wives. One is the Mrs. So-and-so, this is Mr. Ibrahim, and this is Mrs. Ibrahim that everybody knows. But the other Mrs. Ibrahim, nobody knows. Nobody knows except a few people that know about her. Now what happens? She's hidden somewhere. Hidden somewhere, and under some pretext, the person goes there. He feels it's fine, because he's got the masla. He went to Mona and Phoenix, he asked him, how many wives are there? Around four wives? Must everybody knows, I'm allowed. But my first wife has to know. Ask this question very commonly. Does she have to know that I'm getting married to a second wife? Mona says, no, ijab and qubul is made, the nikah is valid. So, person gets married, they say, alhamdulillah, I got married to a second wife now, no haram thing happening. But you ask the man, how you contacted her? How many years you know her? Where you met her? All that haram, he doesn't know about. He only knows the masla, that you can get married to two, completely permissible. Two, up to four you can get married. However, the person gets married, he doesn't say anyone, and the day he passes away, nobody knows about his wife. There may be some children there as well, nobody knows about the children. He's the cause of depriving that wife and depriving the children of the Islamic inheritance. Those days are gone. There's a famous kisah, no time anyway. The kisah goes, such one person has gone. There was a traveler used to go to a certain town in those days. He used to stay there for a few days. Then he used to come back. His wife felt suspicious. She sent somebody to find out. And it was established that, yes, your husband is married in that town. She was such a pious wife. She felt, Zahir Bhatia, he must be have a zarurat, that's why he got married. He goes on safar, and there must be a need for him to have for another wife. She got married. She concealed this. She didn't say anyone. The day he passed away, it is mentioned, when her share was given of 1/8, she divided it into half, and she sent it with that same person to that woman there. That tell that woman that my husband has passed away, and this is her share, because she's the second wife. And look at the imandari of that woman. That woman says, take it back, because your husband had divorced me before he had passed away. I'm no more in his marriage. So those days we don't find, these days we don't find that degree of amanatdari and that degree of love and understanding and value for the orders of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a person has two wives, then you should remember that they also inherit from you. Similarly, if a person has divorced his wife, here there are details, if he's divorced her in the maradul maut when he was sick, for example, and normally he's in a position of blame. He has fallen now ill, very ill, and he's got cancer, for example, Allah Pak save us, all doctors feel now he won't survive, now he divorces his wife. Though he may divorce her because he wanted to divorce her, not because of his sickness, but because he's in a position of blame. If he divorces her in that sickness, and he passes away in that sickness while she's in the iddat, or she's in the iddat of wafat, he passes away and the iddat of wafat is longer, she will still inherit from him. But if it's an irrevocable divorce, three divorces. If it's a revocable divorce, in other words, he's given her one divorce, can take her back, while she's in the iddat, she will get from this person. Similarly, we find that sometimes a person has relatives that are non-Muslims. Person is a revert to Islam, accepted Islam. Relatives are non-Muslims. Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us that La yarisul muslim al-kafir, wal al-kafir al-muslim, or kama qala Nabi s.a.w. that a Muslim cannot inherit from a non-Muslim. And a non-Muslim cannot inherit from a Muslim. Similarly, we find sometimes where a person killed the person who passed away. So the qatil la yaris. Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us the person that made qatil also, he cannot inherit. Similarly, we find that we make wirasat, as I mentioned earlier, if it's a wasiyat, then a wasiyat should be given to those people that are not inheritors. Those people that are not inheritors, they should be given the wasiyat. Another aspect we find that is common in our country is an estate in an estate. Estate in an estate means now, my grandfather's estate is not only complete now, the people that were inheriting, they also passed away. There was one estate in Durban, I remember many years ago, very, very pious person, Allah Ta'ala make their maghfirah, those widows had gone to the graves without getting the share of their husband. So you don't say that is past tense, inna illaha inna ilaihi raji'un, finish. No, now we have to rectify that. Go and search into who are the survivors of those people, the grandfather's estate. There was a certain auntie, she passed away, who are her inheritors, they passed away, who remains now, then go and pay them. Go retract, go backwards, and go and pay them. And we know all this, we know how to work it out, because when it comes to taxes, Allah Pak save us, what happened, so many years we didn't pay, what happened, we got all the computers, we know. So this is those rights that are still there. We go to those inheritors of those people, and we pay them. This is an estate, it must be rectified. Now a very, very important thing is to mention who are our creditors and who are our debtors. I know when one close person in our family passed away, one merchant came out from middle of Durban and said, Haji Sahib had owed me 150,000. No record of it anyway. No record of it anyway. Now what do you do? If you do not pay that, then Haji Sahib's problem for him in the Akhirat. A person is mu'allakun bidainihi in the Akhirat. He's suspended because of his deen. And if you pay that, and he's not paying the money, then you are depriving the inheritors. It's very, very important that the debtors and creditors must be mentioned who you're owing and what amanats you got, etc. Together with that, another important thing is your inventory, especially in our scenario when a person got investments there and here and offshore and everywhere and all other types of investments, you got uplang, you got, and you got this, you got that, and only your big son knows about it, for example. Nobody else knows about it. The family doesn't know anything about it. And if that person is not trustworthy, what happens? The rights of everybody are jeopardized. Why? Because nobody else knows about your property there in certain country, your offshore investments there. So you must make a proper inventory, and everything must be mentioned there in detail, that this is what I have, and this is what I don't have. Similarly, we find another very good thing is the waqf. And the waqf, obviously, we should not be mistaken with the trust of today. The trust of today is different, and the waqf is different. This trust has a maturity date. And one of the basic requirements of a waqf is it has to be perpetual. You cannot say after 20 years it will mature. In fact, the chartered accountant that told me last week that this is means actually meaningless. In Islam, when you make a trust, that you are the full owner still of that. And Islamically, when you pass away also, it comes back to your, comes back to you, and then also the Islamic status. But the waqf is something where a person makes waqf, and that remains. The waqf remains, and remains even after a person passes away. A person can make waqf while he's living, or he can make waqf from the one third of his wealth. Also a nice way of giving charity is make waqf of one third of the wealth. If a person is wealthy, then that will go towards waqf and continue, inshallah, in the avenue of charity. And some people are even more wise. They say the income of their certain percent must be saved. And that again, some other property must be bought with that. And that also must go towards charity. So the waqf is multiplied. And alhamdulillah, a person keeps getting the sawab even after he passes away. Another important aspect are the executors. When it comes to elective executors, we must make sure that there is their ulama kiram, or people that are trustworthy, people that are honest, and together with that, people that are close to the family, and people that are accountable, who are accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are conscious about this, that I have to account tomorrow on the day of judgment. It must not be such people that have only secular knowledge, don't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will find what happens here is those little children can't even go and ask them. There's so much awe of those people, they can't even go and ask them, when is the next installment due, or what is my proportion of the estate? Why? Because that person is high and haughty, and he's sitting there, and whatever his profession is, and he has no time. No, he must be a member of the family, has feeling for the family, knows the affairs of the family, etc. A deendar person, ulama-i kiram are there, they can guide them also. Then executives should be such that you know you have trust on them, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat, Allah ta'ala's fadl and karam, that these people are deendar people, they will carry out this trust in a proper manner and carry out this responsibility and distribute. Together with that, the documents that we sign should be proper documents. Why? Because laws keep changing. As auditors are telling us that you need to sign every page when it comes to a will, you don't have to just initial those pages, you have to sign those pages. If you have a document, we have standard document forms for the Jamiatul Ulama, other organized bodies, they have brought some with me. You should go to your people of the law and ask them if those are valid. And if those are valid, alhamdulillah, it will be sufficient. Together with that, we should make wasiyat. And wasiyat, not only of that one third, but we should make dini wasiyat as well. And dini wasiyat also is very, very effective. Person may not listen to his parents, but when the mother passed away, he says, my mother's wasiyat, you know, that every Thursday I must do this, or every I must read my namaz, etc., or I must look after this granny. A mother can tell her whole life, he may not listen. It is mentioned the word siyar. It sees that you look after little children. It sees that you look after the unmarried daughter, etc. You take it very seriously and fully. Similarly, we find the first charge of the estate is the funeral expenses. And those funeral expenses should not be extravagant also. Funeral expenses, as per the requirement, the first charge against the estate will be taken out of the estate. Thereafter, the second thing that is taken out of the estate is the debts. Though in the Qur'an Pak we'll find that wasiyat is mentioned first, and then the debts. Ulama Ikram explained, because wasiyat is such a thing, normally is given to a person who is not an inheritor. And the people may feel a bit reluctant to discharge the wasiyat. As far as the debts are concerned, creditors will come and say, where's my money? I want my money, your father owed me so much. When it comes to wasiyat, then a person sometimes, and most cases, not from the family. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned first, min ba'di wasiyati yusibiya odain. But actually the sequence is first the funeral expenses, then the debts. Debts the person is owing to the people. Even if the entire estate is paid out in debts, then inheritance will get no share. Not that this happens that a person says, no, I don't acknowledge the debt, and takes the money and distributes it in the people. No, the debts must be paid out. Thirdly, the wasiyat must be paid out, and whatever remains thereafter must be paid out. All these are the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the estate. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon us, that if the inheritors sit down and mutually agree, whatever arrangement they mutually agree is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if the inheritors sat down and said that we are three brothers, for example, this brother of ours is very poor, is needy, etc. I take my share, give it to him. Other brother takes the share, give it to him. Absolutely fine. Let's give the house to my mother. She has no place to live. It's acceptable by all inheritors, provided inheritors are valid. It's absolutely fine. You can give it to her. So this you should remember, that if there is mutual agreement as far as division of estate is concerned, by mutual consent of all the people, it's completely permissible. Similarly, we should remember that relationship is very, very important. Maintaining good relationship is very important, and especially when it comes to our rights. The person sees his mother, his sister, etc., then he should remember that he'll get the house or he'll get the property, but he will not be able to buy that love and understanding and the relationship. That's why many understanding people, they compromise. No matter, give it to my brother, give it to my sister, or give it to my mother. I don't want the property. Why? Because he knows the feelings and the du'as of the mother will bring him more goodwill than all the properties of the world. Similarly, we should understand that it's not the amount. It's not the amount. It may be very little, and there are incidents, so many incidents with bear testimony, where a person got little bit. In fact, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he mentioned about his children, they just got a few rands, I think it was plus minus up to about 500 rands. But in a short while, I think he had 11 sons. And Hisham ibn Abdul Malik also had 11 sons. If you compare the estates, this was a vast estate. That was a small estate. But within a few years, one of his sons had given, I think, 100 camels or 100 horses in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of his sons was begging after a short while. So the barakat will come as long as it is given in a halal manner. The halal manner is given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the barakat, even if the figures are small. As long as it is halal, this is what we should be aspiring. As long as it is halal, done in the proper manner. Similarly, we find two very important aspects. Two important, لَا تَأْكُلْ بَعْلَ الْيَتِيمِ زُلْمًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ زُلْمًا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُورِ النَّارَ وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Look after the wealth of those that are minors and that are yatim. Very, very important to the executors. And as I say, executors are sometimes family members. Maybe the old son, their rights, and together with that also, we find people usurp their rights. The child doesn't know what's happening. Similarly, the rights of the elderly women folk. Those women folk that don't know how to read and write, we find people take them for a ride. They take them for a ride and really ride from here to Jeddah. And they buy a ticket for them and say, we're sending you for Hajj, we're sending you for this. That lady is so overjoyed. MashaAllah, my nephew or my brother's son or somebody, he sent me for Hajj and he sent me for Umrah. That Hajj and Umrah cost her 50,000 or 60,000. She's worth 500,000. She's worth 500,000, but she does not know it. You cannot read and write, etc. And this person gives her perks, gives her few things like this, and she gets very happy. She's very happy with him. Amma, you're happy, very happy. She makes dua also for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this person is conning this old lady. He's taking away their rights. Similarly, another common thing we find, I recall of one family, closely related to us also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We find that the two brothers, one brother, when the father had passed away, the father was a very pious person. When he had passed away, what happened? He had written most of the estate, most of his properties was for the elder brother. The two brothers went to the courts, I think over 15 or 16 years, they did not even speak to each other. And there was an accusation, only Allah knows best, that he made He made the old man sign the document. Papa, just sign here. Elderly person, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, doesn't know what the documents are. He made him sign. The documents read there, my entire estate goes to certain son. The father does not even know it, and the estate is gone. Recently also we had a similar case, and this person said, no, that my grandfather had become senile, and this son got round him, and made him sign this document here, and everything was gone to him. Now they're not speaking to each other, they're fighting with each other, they don't want to look at each other. Imagine, blood brothers, what barakah can you have when you're not even allowed to break relationship with a normal Muslim for more than 3 days? This is a blood brother, you're from one womb, you grew up together, God came together, and you act together, you pray together. Now the families are torn apart. The son, this daughter don't want to see them. The grandchildren don't want to go mix with them. They don't want to mix with them. Why? Just because of a little bit of wealth. And at the end of the day, every person will leave all the wealth in the dunya and leave this dunya. We are all liars. We all say, this is mine and that is mine and that is mine. Story that comes to mind, that the person who was walking with his master, and he asked him, what is this? He said, Angaz. So he said, oh, Angaz, mashallah, very rich person. Then he said, who's this person? He said, who's getting married? He said, Angaz. He said, oh, Angaz is getting married. Then he asked him, whose funeral? He said, Angaz. So Angaz passed away. Then he asked him, who's this going? He said, just now you said he passed away, and now you said he's going on this. He said, no, Angaz means I don't know. So we are also like that. We feel that this belongs to me, that belongs to me, that belongs to me. And the day will come and he'll pass away. Everything is said, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Nothing is mine. What is mine is that amal that will go with me. That trustworthiness, that truthfulness, that honesty, that feeling, that love, that will go with me into the qabr, that is mine. Everything else belongs to our inheritors. Person passed away, comes in the hadith, three things follow him. His family, his wealth, and his amal. Two things come back, family and wealth, his amal go with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and guidance, and we realize the object of coming here is to make us realize, go to the muftiyani kiram, there's a lot of ulama now, go to them, sit down and tell them, this is my assets, this is where I stand, how do I work out my Islamic estate? Not to say, alhamdulillah, we heard the talk, we heard many things we didn't know now, go back home, we are the same. I asked one brother after giving a talk in my masjid, after about 3 weeks by, got to your estate, will. He says, no, what I got, Mona? What I got? I said, even if you got 100 times, make a will. So much benefits. You'll be forgiven, you're on the right path, you're on the sunnah, you're upon taqwa, maghfuran lahu. Even if you got 50 rand in your pocket, make a will. So, the importance of that, like namaz is zaruri, etc., will also is zaruri. In fact, to a great extent, more importance, great importance should be shown here because the rights of other people are there. And the rights of other people is continued. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa asul da'wah alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulil kareem. Sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfasana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وإن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وأورة وذنب وخطيئة اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين.